Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. And then, by all means, if you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. From the Grants Pass City Council, Vanessa Auger and Rob Pell are both in studio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Glad to have you both here.
Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
All right. It's always, and there's lots to talk about with city, but I'm going to depart from our normal situation here just a minute, and I'm going to put Vanessa on the spot here because stay tuned, Rob. because I know people have experienced lots of things in their lives, but I imagine very few have ever been to the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
And observed goings on there, and you were there when Grants Pass was up in front of the Supreme Court. Can you share some of that experience with us and tell us what it was like being in that that situation?
It was certainly quite the experience, and you are receiving almost an exclusive interview, so please be aware of that as well.
Okay, we are recording this, you know.
I haven't discussed this with really anyone, any media source. So, we arrived there on Saturday morning. We took a red eye and we immediately went to the court and began waiting in line.
And to wait overnight?
Yep, yeah. Until Monday morning. Okay. And wanted to make sure that we got a spot inside. While we waited, it was my mom and I that went, and while we waited in line over the weekend, we met dozens of people. People would just stop by on the street and talk to us. A lot of locals stopped and talked because they knew what the queue was. Tourists, not so much. So it was really fascinating to meet all of the different people. Met one professor that had a student that was writing his thesis paper on the city of Grants Pass. So I thought that that was very interesting. Met people from other countries, met people from all across the country, people from other law firms that, you know, have similar cases that they're undergoing. So that was maybe one of the most fascinating things, was the diversity of talking to people about the topic and their thoughts and what they're facing. So it was really nice to sit and listen. Going inside of the court itself was a tremendous experience. It's a lot more impressive than I imagined. I didn't really know what to expect. If I had to guess, the ceilings are probably 60 to 70 feet tall, and 12 foot diameter marble pillars. And watching the demeanor of the justices was also, a really exclusive experience. So that was cool as well, seeing maybe who's engaged, who's not so engaged, with their body language and, how they hold themselves. So that was especially interesting. I had stayed up almost all night the night before, so I'm waiting in line. I didn't quite absorb the oral argument the first time that I listened to it because I was quite fatigued. It was quite the experience for sure.
Justices' interaction among themselves. Can you describe any of that? Did you pick up any of that?
What do you mean? I don't understand your question.
How do they react to each other?
I don't think that was clear from my perspective, but their level of engagement certainly was. Who was, had their eyes on, whoever was speaking, or maybe who was, looking into their lap, or, things like that. So that was kind of something that you don't get to see from listening.
Did you come away with any indication on the ruling? What was your read?
No, I don't have any indication. After talking to the locals and people that followed the court closely, they provided me some insight that, it's not normally as cut and dry as just being able to learn from their questions how they might rule, that sometimes they might ask a question that differs from the way that they lean. So walking away, I don't have any indication of how they might lean.
Okay, just one final question. We'll get on to the business at hand here today. But the student making his thesis on Grants Pass, what was his topic, and are you going to be in it?
I actually only spoke with the professor on it, mm-hmm. and I said, please invite that student down. I will be here for a couple of days. I'd love to chat with them, but I didn't have that opportunity.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. That's an experience that a lot of people will probably never have the opportunity to do so. And for sharing it with us, we give you kudos.
Thanks.
All right, Rob, you still with us here?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't mean to exclude
you. I loved your questions. They were great.
Exclude you. So yeah. Welcome back. Let's start, first of all, with the City of Grants Pass. First of all, what are your people telling you right now? What are you hearing from your constituents before we get on to any of the other business at hand here? What are people concerned about right now, Rob?
Well, I think people are – it's finally starting to, you know, hit home as the water bills come in that we have a new public safety utility fee. And so now it's real to people that public safety spending has gone up and that we had really no other budget cuts we could make. And all of a sudden we got people's attention because I think, you know, most people don't really necessarily pay attention, but now they're paying more. Mm-hmm. I had a call the other day from a woman who owns property in the city. She lives out in the county and she said, when did we vote on this or who voted on this or when did this happen? And I was like, well, guess what? You know, it's been in the works for several months or
it's
even years.
It's not like it was a secret. It's been right. Covered by all the media. Yeah.
And she had just renewed a lease with her commercial tenant, not knowing that her costs were going to have increased. I was like, you know, I explained it to her, explained why we needed it and how it came about and, you know, how most of the need comes from things that we have no control over with PERS and some of the union contracts that some of the unions, you know, in a figurative sense, hold a gun to our head with, you know, I'll sign this or, you know, we're going to arbitration, you know. So, you know, we've got a lot of pressure and now people are beginning to understand.
Yeah. All right. Vanessa, what are you hearing?
I'm still hearing a lot about the situation in the parks from people. I think that's been the most frequently spoken on topic for years now. I haven't had anyone reach out to me yet about the utility bill. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean people aren't concerned. I just haven't experienced that yet. So parks is still on the forefront of people's minds.
Okay. While we mentioned that utility situation, is there any chance it would ever go away if other funding is found?
It's a great question. And I would imagine that it could. I'm, as a counselor and also as a layman, I'm more concerned with it increasing, you know, that if as costs go up. And I'd have to say that to piggyback on what Vanessa just said, a lot of people are anxious and looking forward to the Supreme Court ruling. And I've tried to tell them that it's not black and white at all. It's not even clear if what they're going to rule on, you know, and it's not even clear what the ruling is, you know, may actually ultimately mean to us.
Or how it could change regardless of the ruling.
Absolutely. You know, we had a session with one of the Supreme Court lawyers, the counsel did, and he mentioned that, you know, depending on how the ruling goes, and in any event, go back to the Ninth Circuit, they may just take a few weeks to make their changes, and then Grants Pass can move on. But he also mentioned that depending on exactly what the ruling is, it could be 6 months at the Ninth Circuit level before we get our final marching orders on what we're allowed to do or not do. So we're all thinking, oh, yeah, it's June 23rd. Well, it could be 6 months after that before we even really know.
And we don't have a line drawn on the sand yet for anything.
No idea. Council is just as anxious or even more than the general public. But that's also what I'm hearing is, you know, people just, we're waiting for it. The whole town's waiting for this ruling, you know.
I know a lot of time was spent yesterday during the workshop on a proposal by the YMCA to partner with the City of Grants Pass on a new pool recreational facility, and Caveman Pool enters into that also. What is the outcome right now? Which way are we headed with this? Vanessa, can you outline, first of all, what the YMCA proposed?
In large part, the YMCA was asking for a partnership from the city, and that request was a land donation for a piece of property out off of Allen Creek Road. It's a...
That was transferring right up there, right at the stand, right into the microphone.
Some pen tapping is what we're talking about.
Yes.
So the YMCA asked for a land donation of a piece of property off of Allen Creek Road, a piece of property that is 9 acres. And the council did move, you know, give direction for us to complete that land donation. I personally am disappointed with that. I thought that the council was preparing that land for housing development in large part. I do know that a part of it was intended for open space or recreation space. I don't necessarily think a YMCA center can be shoehorned into that. But I am certainly disappointed that such a wide swath of land, perfect for housing, that's flat and developable, would be donated for a YMCA center.
As I understand, it was just over 9 acres, just a little bit less than 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression that that was part of the Allen Creek Reserve that had been designated as parkland. Is that not the case? Not all of it was?
It is. We had a very similar project off of Allenwood, mm-hmm. Where it was designated parkland that we did move forward with an RFI, and seeking developer input on how we could maximize that space for housing development. So it wouldn't have been an unprecedented move. It's something that we, you know, are in the process of right now, but you still have that challenge of STC reimbursement, which I'm faithful that we could have overcome just like we did on Allenwood.
All right. Well, we'll get to that momentarily. Let's deal with the YMCA a little bit longer. Rob, do you want to weigh in on the proposed partnership with the City of Grants Pass?
Sure. So it's my understanding that 9 acres is probably more than the YMCA needs. Number one, let me just back up and say that the YMCA seems to provide, and from all accounts, a lot of really valuable services to our community, and they've drastically outgrown their current facility. So they need something way larger, and it's going to go somewhere at some point. So it's going to take land from somewhere at some point. What I understand, and I believe it was on a proposal that we had, a very initial proposal that we had heard from the YMCA in the last year, and if not, I know there's other YMCAs that have done it, where they've also included some housing, which originally gets back to some of the YMCA's roots, right? I mean, from 100 years ago or whatever, that there could be housing also, and they didn't mention that yesterday about this particular location, but it has been mentioned in the past that that could be dovetailed in or done as part of. Now, obviously, it wouldn't be 100 units or hundreds of units that would be able to be done if that land was dedicated purely to housing. But it would be great if somehow that was, a complex that had the YMCA as well as some affordable housing or senior housing or something of that nature. So I'm hopeful, but that's really going to be more up to the YMCA. I don't see, and again, this is very initial discussions council had yesterday, I don't see the city really donating much in the way of monetary resources, direct monetary resources now or even 5 years from now. I just don't see us having that kind of money. So it's really going to be up to the YMCA to carry the ball here on the fundraising. And they seem very confident they could do it based on what other YMCAs have done. They've done very similar things, and they've been able to raise the money. So I really hope that the YMCA can raise all that they need for this through a lot, public and private sources. Hoping that it's a great facility, and it'd be great if some housing could be woven into that project.
All right. So we're not exactly sure how much land the YMCA really needs for the proposed facility, and I'm not even sure a facility's been designed for that yet. That seems to be part of it because they're talking about 4 years mm-hmm. at least for completion, and about a $65 million price tag on that. That's not any government money. That's all their money, correct?
That's the way it's been presented to us yesterday. They were very clear. They said they are not asking for our money. Now I'm sure they would be glad to take it, but get a donation from us. But they were asking for a place, a land is what they were looking for.
All right, and so we don't know how much land. If there was housing going in adjacent to that or in conjunction with that, would it be funded by the YMCA, or are we talking individual contractors, or do we know yet? Is that blue sky yet?
Yeah, it's really, really preliminary, the request that we had before us yesterday. I don't know that there's any design already completed by the YMCA. Sounds like they're still just trying to figure out.
All right, now that brings into question the caveman pool, and I know a lot of people are want to have that pool saved. By some stretch of the imagination, it looks like it's very expensive to save it. What's the status right now of the caveman pool? And I know that's still up for debate also. So, Vanessa, from your perspective, what's the situation with caveman pool?
The current status is that the pool is really being limped along. It is in really bad shape. It's extraordinarily old for the facility that it is. And it feels like every year the city is uncovering more and more issues with the pool itself. Like, for example, it can't hold water. And so
the extraordinary water loss was incredible when I heard that.
Extraordinary water loss. So year after year, we're finding more and more issues with it. In terms of moving forward and, you know, the future of the pool, there was general consensus yesterday from the council that there is some interest in saving the pool and possibly, you know, moving forward with some type of general obligation bond in the future. But there was also general interest of, you know, really uncovering every possible funding source of what could be out there to help us, because we do know that the cost of raw goods and inflation have just escalated the prices of everything.
Replacing the facility, as I understand it from yesterday's meeting, over about $13.5 million for basically a Cadillac going in place of that. Is that fair?
In terms of redevelopment, it would be like state of the art.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's a state-of-the-art facility per se. It would have a couple of outdoor amenities, and I think we move forward with the Shock Creek, or you know, the what was presented was a Shock Creek design yesterday. So I'm certainly no pool expert. I've never had one. I don't know if it's the Cadillac of pools, but
it'd certainly be an upgrade from what we have now. Yeah,
anything would be almost.
Don't let me put words into your mouth here. All right, so.
So let me just clarify one thing.
Sure.
When we use the word save the pool, basically when we talk about, it's not pumping more money into repairing the old pool.
It's replacement.
It's replacement is a better word. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. Only the only thing that would be saved is the name.
And the location.
And the location. That location. What is the agreement with the high school there? With District 7, are we aware of that? Because I've heard terms about sharing parking lots and things like that.
Yeah, we're hoping, and I think District 7 had given initially, maybe a year ago, indication that they would be agreeable to sharing or even covering most of the expense for the parking lot, which was considerable. I think it was around $600,000. Because they're going to be using that parking lot a lot more than the pool is going to be using it. So there was some, you know, there's going to be some partnership there for sure. You know, and getting back to your comment about the Cadillac of pools, it's clearly going to be an upgrade. And the idea with some of the amenities we wanted to add, like a slide for kids and that sort of thing, and diving board, the idea is to essentially have it be more attractive and draw more people, which in the long run will help cover the cost because people have to pay to go there. So if we can make it more attractive and, let's say, increase the number of users by 10 or 20 or 50% because it's a really fun place for kids to go in the summer, that's the idea of upgrading. It's not an upgrade for the sake of, you know, vanity, so to speak, or keeping up with other towns. It's just like we want a place where the kids want to go in the summer.
Right. We're not going to pull tourists off of I-5.
Exactly.
All right. And I also heard mention of expanding the season, which is currently about 70 days of summertime pool use. How can that be expanded into earlier in the spring or later into the fall?
What's really interesting about that is, obviously, you know, if you're going to heat a pool in the cooler seasons, there's going to be a lot of expense associated with that, and there may not be a lot of people who want to use it in the cooler seasons. But I know in Eugene, for instance, I believe it's Amazon Pool, the swim team actually practices in that pool in the winter. My grandson was on the swim team in Eugene, on a high school swim team, and it's just shocking to me. But they use that pool in the cold months somehow. So it's possible, and other towns do it. I don't know, you know, because you've got to also have lifeguards, and lifeguards typically go to school, you know, in the fall and spring. So I'm not 100% sure if we're going to be able to expand it or how real those discussions are. But other cities have done that.
All right. Well, interesting. Move on. And I know that's going to be – nothing was etched in stone yesterday in terms of either the YMCA or the caveman pool. So that's one to keep your eye on right now. Also yesterday, talked about in the latter part of the workshop, was a discussion of the rule changes for public comment during business sessions. Can you outline the final outcome there? And is it really the final outcome? Rob, you're smiling from ear to ear. Vanessa, you're fairly quiet here. Either one of you jump in.
When we talk about a final outcome, things are always in motion. I mean, the government's, you know, a living, breathing thing, as are the counselors, as is the public. And since it's public comment, you know, they have a lot to do with how the council reacts. Years ago, there was a group that I really believe was very disruptive, ended up, I think, suing the police force and so forth. And they took over the first half hour or more of every single meeting with issues that weren't necessarily under the jurisdiction of the Grants Pass City Council. So, you know, when council is faced with situations that essentially, I'm going to use the word waste a lot of time, and our time is valuable because we're volunteers, the staff time is valuable because they're paid well, and, you know, when that goes on for month after month, you know, you've got to react. So whether it's the final outcome or not, it is a modification, something that we think will hopefully make things a little more streamlined and still balance it with the public being able to regularly know that they can speak at meetings.
Mm-hmm. There was a talk of restricting it to 30 minutes total. Is that part of the new plan? Or was that not going into the resolution?
So that rule currently exists, but it's not enforced.
Not enforced. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And a reduction of the time for citizens to comment going from 3 minutes to 2 minutes.
I felt really comfortable with this, especially after going to the Supreme Court, circling back. The attorneys have 2 minutes for their opening statement. So I think if you can effectively have an opening statement in 2 minutes before the Supreme Court, you can get any point across to the City Council in 2 minutes or less.
All right, planning ahead. That's the key. Lots more to talk about here. Fascinating so far. I want to thank you very much for your time so far, but my time is getting short here, and I've got commercials to get in here. Several of them, as a matter of fact, that we have just talked right through. So in the meantime, I want all of you to stay tuned. If you have a question or comment for either Rob or Vanessa following the local news, the number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live.
Hi, my name is...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, city councilors are in studio today. That is Councilor Peld and Councilor Auger, both here with us. And if you have a question or comment for either one, the number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue and you'll be able to pose your question or comment live to them as we speak. So that's the situation here. We've been talking about a lot of things that happened yesterday in the city council workshop, including the agreement with the Y for possible a land lease for a new aquatic center and recreational facility for the Y in South Grants Pass. We've been talking about life for the caveman pool, and we talked about the public comment session for the councilors' business sessions that may be modified just a little bit. And let's continue with that just a little bit. Your overview first, Vanessa, on the topic of holding a little more control, I think, is the right word for community comments.
So. Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, narrow in the scope of what the comments that we allow. Our meetings run really long. Public meeting law doesn't, you know, it really ensures public observation. And so I think when people go outside of the scope of city business, I think that they're abusing that generosity a little bit. And I don't think it's quite fair to anyone's time for us to hear about maybe someone's favorite animal or, you know, why they love wearing hats. You know, those are generic, you know, things that people might say, but it's not necessary. And I'd like us to stay on topic.
Yeah. All right, Rob, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, it's definitely a fine balancing act between, you know, what actually is specific city business and what is really out in left field. I mean, what is a county ballot measure that affects people in the city? Is that appropriate to talk about at a city council meeting? You know, I think it is. We had a mayor years ago who didn't think it was and actually sent someone down from the podium and said, you know, that's not a city ballot measure. Well, it's a county issue. So there's sometimes overlap and a lot of gray area. I think the council realizes that, and I don't know how much tighter we're going to be on that, but we did decide to, you know, pare down the number of minutes at least that people have to probably still pretty much say what they want to, unless it's really clearly outside of our jurisdiction.
I took away from yesterday's meeting at the very end that people will have to make sure that they have a little blue slip that they have to fill out in order to make comments right now. And those are available certainly before the meeting, and I believe at City Hall. And that has to be in the mayor's hands prior to public comment in order to get up in front of the podium. Is that fair? And that's something people should know. And have you had any feedback on that yet?
That practice is currently implemented, the blue card. And the mayor has been really flexible about allowing them even during public comment. Even when public comment starts, she still accepts them if people are sure to get them to the city recorder. But no, I haven't really heard any feedback in terms of the blue card. We've been doing it in the entire duration we've been on council.
Oh, all right. Final comment, Rob?
Yeah, they've been doing the blue card, but I guess what the mayor has been trying to do is anyone who fills out a card gets to speak first, and she's allowed other people to kind of wait in the back of the line. And that seemed to sort of kind of be working, I guess. But I think that we may be tightening that up a bit. I just hope that people are aware of that, public is aware of that when they walk in the door, so that nobody who wants to speak is disappointed that they get cut out of the process.
Okay. Yes. Let's move ahead just a little bit. Let's move back to one of the things we just barely touched on at the beginning of our little conversation today, but it's an ongoing situation, and that's public safety funding. Now we've hit on the point where people are beginning to see the utility bills come in for residents. I think it's about $17 extra a month, and that goes on. And that was instituted by the city council. No vote was needed by the general public for that to happen. There are other things the council can do to raise more funds, and that's been talked about in terms of a sales tax, either a food and beverage tax or a general sales tax that the council could implement without a vote of the people. Are there other areas that we can look for, or will those be revisited?
I'm sure that they will be revisited in the future. This topic certainly hasn't been laid to rest. I know I've heard from some really active community members, as well as Councillor Lovelace, that there may be some interest in starting like a public safety committee. And these aren't unheard of in other communities, but it sounds like it would, you know, just be a group of people that might be able to help us look through these again.
What would that committee do? Is that process in effect right now? Are we looking for committee members, or is that just something that we think we might do?
It's just an idea at this time.
Just an idea at this time. All right. If people have a feeling on that, you can give us a call right now, or you can contact Vanessa Robb or even Valerie Lovelace. Easiest way to connect with the council right now, is that on the email?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I look at all the emails that come to me. I look at all the emails that come to Mayor Council also. If I feel that I'm well qualified to answer, or maybe best qualified to answer, I always do. Generally speaking, or I forward them to somebody who I feel, you know, staff person, that would be the most appropriate to answer the question.
All right. We have a call coming in right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. Yeah. Well, I have a question and a comment both. I just got home from driving through town, and I have this, I don't know how brilliant an idea it is, but it would seem like if they could get two, safety officers grant, a grant for two safety officers, the violations of what I was taught when I went through driver's training, they would have the money to repair our streets in a very short time. They're not following the speeds on the speed limits. They're not stopping at the stop signs. They're not using turn signals. And it just seems like if we could just, is it been worked on, trying to get a couple of safety officers? It's probably an ongoing battle. I mean, an ongoing project.
That, you know, that's a, I think I hear your comment there, your observation or your thought. That is something that I actually have, I actually reached out to the police chief and he got back to me. We just never actually set up a meeting, but there is something along those lines that I wanted to speak with him about with regards to traffic enforcement and how I think that the how we could get the most bang for the buck on that. So a lot of people feel similarly as you do with regards to not enough traffic enforcement, and it's a little bit it's concerning to a lot of people, pedestrians and car drivers. We all see it. So I am going to speak with the chief about it.
Have to get a child or two injured or killed or
absolutely,
or you know, an older adult or somebody before they'll do anything. It seems to be so much of the time, all these rules and things are done and written in blood. Unfortunately,
right.
All right. Want to thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Is that everything?
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I have. I just thought I'd throw that idea out. I didn't know how. Valerie washed out it was, but anyway.
Well, we appreciate your comment and your thought and your ears here today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. Let me echo that I've seen in the last 3 months, I've seen at least three crashes at intersections, red lights being run, stop signs virtually ignored, talk about speed. It's the 7th Street Grand Prix about 4 o'clock in the afternoon is how fast you can get to I-5. But we have virtually no traffic control at all because we don't have the officers to do that. Is there, Rob, do you expect to follow through with Chief Hensman to see if there are some ways out there to find grants for traffic enforcement?
Well, I am definitely going to speak with him about it. And, you know, to me, I think that the benefit, the cost-benefit analysis on that might surprise him. And he's in a better position maybe to have read studies and things like that. But I very clearly can remember different situations 15 and 20 years ago where we had traffic enforcement for a week on a particular road. To this day, I'm very cognizant of the speed that I drive on those same roads because friends and mine and even family members got tickets from enforcement efforts from 20 years ago. But if we don't have them ever, then it just gets out of control. But I really believe that we'll get more return on that than the chief understands. And I think that I'm a perfect example of that. I still remember 20 years ago, you know, people getting tickets in particular spots, and it keeps me going slower down those hills.
All right. Well, and watch out for Rob because he's on the bicycle. we don't want anything to happen. Like the lady said, we don't want the rules to be written in blood here. Moving ahead, still talk about public safety, but it goes further, a lot further than just traffic control, which certainly is a concern of Grants Pass. It's grown to, 40,000 people now in the last 10, 15 years. But let's talk about just law enforcement in general because we know that we have pretty good coverage here 24 hours a day with the city. We also know that he needs more officers. And that was part of the plan when we were talking about a food and beverage tax, how that would take the place of that utility fee and at the same time add some extra officers. I think we're talking about 5 officers, 3 commissioned and a couple of public service officers. Is that dead right now? Is there a way forward to this? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? And how long is that tunnel? Anybody have a question or a direction to point here? Vanessa, you're left. It's funny, but it's a serious problem.
Yeah, it's only funny because it's something we've been working on going on 4 years now with, you know, no resolution. So, you know, that's probably one of the only ways that the community actually sees the deficit that we currently face in public safety is traffic violations, because public safety professionals are trained in such a way that no matter how burnt out, no matter how tired or hungry or, you know, exhausted they are, they still show up professionally and do their job to their best. And that's in terms of responding to calls for service. And so when they are showing up professionally and they are doing their job well, it's hard to see the deficit that exists. But when something like traffic violations are so prolific, that's really where it can be highlighted that we don't have enough officers in terms of calls of service that we receive to have a designated traffic team. So to answer your question, there is no discussion at this time of hiring those additional officers and firefighters. And we know that we also need a facility specialist to help out with the maintenance of those buildings and the equipment. But that conversation really is on hold at the moment.
All right. Well, it may be on hold elsewhere, but not here. We'll continue right after this word. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show. We're in the final segment here. I want to make just a quick comment here on, because we were talking about some of the police officers earlier, and in effect, they are never off duty, in essence. They're always subject to call, and I'll share one with you. We had a report, as a matter of fact, on the public safety log this morning where there was a shoplifting incident. It was called in. Officers were en route. But there was another officer off duty who was observing things and stayed on station until the active officers arrived. So kudos to those people who have made that commitment to public safety. At the same time, when we're talking about funding public safety, and Vanessa, you were just sharing this off mic here, where we had a couple of motions previously to institute that 1.5% sales tax or the food and beverage tax, I think, was that at 2%, and then it goes away. Because the council can do that without a public vote, is it going to take intestinal fortitude or courage for the council to step up and do something like that? Or knowing that the city could come back and call for a referendum on it? What is the status of the council right now? Do we need someone to step forward and show some courage or intestinal fortitude? Anybody want to step up for this one?
I think it requires a really serious balance, mm-hmm. because you have, the chief of police and the interim fire chief saying, we need additional resources. We are operating under capacity. And then you have small business owners saying my margins are really thin. You have people on fixed income saying that I can't possibly afford a utility hike. You have people calling and saying that we need additional traffic enforcement. So really gathering all perspectives and balancing them.
So you are all on the hot seat. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. But I think at the same time of balancing everyone's needs and the reality of the situation, I think that this type of decision making certainly does require courage, and it requires the unwavering ability to be hated, because no matter what, we're going to make someone unhappy no matter what you do. If you do something, someone will be unhappy. If you do not do anything, someone will be unhappy. So I think that you just have to understand that that's going to happen no matter what.
Is that public safety committee we referred to earlier the key to getting the word out there or informing the public?
I think it's another method to do so.
All right. Rob, you're fairly quiet on this one.
Yeah, there are also, counselors who are really concerned with causing any kind of major rift in the community or angry factions coming at each other, whether it's would be very unlikely to want to push a particular tax, knowing that the referendum drive would get really, really polarizing. So people are, balancing that as well, as how do you keep peace and harmony in town and not have people at each other's throats over these issues. So, yeah, on the one hand, it would take the council, having the cojones to make a move. And on the other hand, we know inevitably there'll be a major battle afterwards. Mm-hmm. And do we want to deal with the fallout? Not necessarily personally, but the townspeople versus townspeople. I mean, every counselor has already, gotten a lot of grief. We our skin has to have been thickened. But we also don't want to see people at each other's, arguing with each other among the town. And that's going to happen, too. And that's going to be a kind of more the uglier side of it. So we're trying to avoid that.
All right. One final question on this topic here. And that is, are we feeling too safe because what we have, although understaffed both on the fire side and the law enforcement side, are doing too good a job? Do we need to have something written in blood in order for the community to move forward and find the proper funding for law enforcement?
That's a great question.
That's my job.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. What would it take for the average person to realize? And as Vanessa mentioned earlier, the now that they see the utility fee, the public safety utility fee, this is the first time that they actually, many of the, you know, the majority of the public realizes, yeah, I mean, public safety costs are going up. If anything, there's, crime is not going down, generally speaking. You know, so people, you know, I think the general public has to realize that these things do have costs, and, you know, there's very little that council can do to rein in some of those costs, you know.
I'm down to about 3 minutes, a little over 3 minutes left in the program. Rob, I'll give you a minute and a half. What should people take away from today's show?
Well, I'd like people to realize that the counselors are basically, we're people in Grants Pass. We don't ride around in tinted window limousines. We don't live in gated communities. You know, when sometimes during public comment, people will say things with the implication that we have our eyes closed and we don't see what they're seeing. I mean, we go by the parks, you know, we read the police report, we are in the park, you know, we're members of the community, and you know, sometimes, in some instances, we're just the messenger, too, telling them what the reality is of our budget situation and the state funding situations. So if people could, you know, understand that we truly are working for and with them, it's not like we gain anything when we personally, it's not like we gain anything personally by the decisions that we make, and that if it happens to be different than what a given person or faction is interested in, well, you know, it's nothing personal. We're just doing what we feel is best for the largest number of people.
Let me put a footnote on that, saying that they are entirely volunteers. They do this for nothing, folks. All right, Vanessa, last minute and a half here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything that Councillor Pell just outlined. I wanted to take my time to highlight some community involvement opportunities. Our Economic Development Division will have a Redwood Highway business listening session on June 25th, and this is from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it will be held at Cascade Spring Meadow Retirement Community. That's 1357 Redwood Circle. And that's an opportunity for the Redwood Highway and Redwood Avenue businesses to come and tell the city what's going on. And I think also it would be a great opportunity maybe even to learn about the Urban Renewal Agency. There is a part of a Redwood Avenue area that is within the Urban Renewal Agency. Additionally, there are some committee openings on Parks Committee, Collaborative Economic Development Committee, Urban Tree Advisory Committee, the Planning Commission, and the Historical Buildings and Sites Commission. So go to the city website to apply.
All right. You have about 60 seconds left. Mm. All right. We have a meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, yeah, in council chambers.
Yeah, and there's an opportunity to come give your 2 minutes of public comment.
That will be in effect on tomorrow night.
No, actually, I don't think that that's official.
You have to have a resolution first,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, we'll have to modify the resolution.
Well, that resolution is not on tomorrow night's agenda yet.
So make sure that you get there so you get the full 3 minutes. It could only be one of your last opportunities for that extra minute. So
last chance. Yeah. Rob, Vanessa, thank you very much. An entertaining, informative show. We want to thank you very much for your time and your energies and your volunteerism on the Grants Pass City Council. And to all of you, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band. We want you to stay tuned. Young man by the name of Alex Bauer coming up to entertain you right to the top of the hour news. Once again, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.